And good morning. If you went to a friend's house today and they wanted to show you their backyard, what would you think if they had these large planting pots that had this beautiful, beautiful flowering herb that was like hanging over the sides of it, almost like a hanging garden? And if you touched it, it smelled just divine. Well, that's what thyme is, or thyme. T-H-Y-M-E. I'm telling you, I think the stuff smells so good. All you got to do is just kind of run your hands through it and then smell the aroma. Those are probably the essential oils. Well, many, many years ago, I had a question I was trying to answer and I couldn't find what I was looking for, and I came across a book that was just filled with facts and details and research on the common spice or the herb called thyme. So if you were to go to the grocery store and walk down the spice aisle, you're probably going to find there is a small bottle or jar of thyme, T-H-Y-M-E. And I think it's used for all sorts of dishes and culinary delights. But what I didn't realize was this stuff is used in such a high abundance all over the world just to keep processed and packaged foods from going bad. I had no idea. For the longest time, they have used extracts of thyme to prevent all sorts of foodborne infections and illness. And so if they add this to food, what happens is you don't get food poisoning when you eat it. It doesn't turn rotten with infection or toxic bacteria. Very, very interesting. The other thing they use thyme in is they just put a ton of it in makeup. And they keep some makeup from, you know, going bad or spoiling. Anyway, that's not really what I want to talk about. Well, I sort of want to talk about it a little bit because I think it's so fun. But this is like a very small plant. The leaves are teeny tiny. But man, it's just fun for the bees. They like to come for the flowers. I've just got to believe that between bees and thyme, they're making the world a better place. Well, I stumbled onto this bit of research or this article, and I said to myself, is this really relevant to anybody that's listening? Do they want to hear this on the radio this morning? This program's called Health Essentials, by the way. And I thought to myself, well, maybe they do. All right. What is a word that represents a hormone that starts with the letter T? Well, you're probably thinking testosterone. You'd be thinking right. Like anything else, there is a certain level of testosterone that's really beneficial and really good. But what happens if you get too much testosterone? Well, you get all sorts of health problems. Well, what if your testosterone levels are too low? Well, that's where you start to see problems also. So, if I asked you, what is the definition of the word motivation? What would you say? Well, in simple terms, you'd probably say something like, well, when I'm motivated, I don't feel like laying on the couch all day long or playing video games or just watching television. I just can't take it. I've got to get up off the couch, and I want to do something, but I want to do something that's very productive, where I'm making the world a better place, or I'm making my world a better place. Well, testosterone is really, really critical for motivation. In a roundabout way, I'm saying that if you remove testosterone from a man, most likely he's not going to be real productive. He's not going to have a real drive to get out there and work and to do things that are good. And you know as well as I do, having something to do is really, really good for you. It is not good for a man to have nothing to aim for or to excel at or to try to get better at or to make the world a better place. So I came across this article, and it was done, this study was done in Korea. But what I find so interesting about it, well, I'll just read it to you. Here's the title of the article: Gonadal Efficacy of Thymus Quinquecostatus. That's the scientific name for Japanese thyme, or thyme. So if you're looking for this, it's called Japanese thyme. It's most likely what you would find if you went to a nursery today and said, point me toward the greenhouse that has thyme. Well, this would be it right here. Okay, here's a study right here. Researchers from the Korea Institute of Oriental Medicine, they made their own water-based extract of thymus quinquecostatus. That's just thyme or thyme. And get this right here. Here's what they did. They gave it to male mice. These are lab mice. You know, you think like a lab rat or a lab mouse. But these mice, they were 50 months old. And I got to admit, that's the very first thing that caught my attention. I thought to myself, what would be the human equivalent of a laboratory mouse that's 50 months old and it's a male? Well, I thought, a wheelchair-bound, highly elderly, very, very weak man that's 97 years old, and he doesn't even have the strength to get out of a wheelchair. That's probably what I thought of. So, most likely the mice they were using, their name was not Mighty Mouse. It wasn't Mickey Mouse. But I'm going to say probably they called the mice Methuselah Mouse. I'm sorry, I just made that up. Anyway. Well, just in the case, as with these elderly mice, older human beings, they produce much less testosterone as compared to young ones. So if you have a young man that's 16 or 17, oh yeah, they could take and eat 3 cheeseburgers. They could probably drink 2 milkshakes, eat a serving of onion rings and french fries, and an hour later they're still hungry. Well, their metabolism is so strong and powerful, they probably don't even have to work out at that age. They just convert all of that into muscle. But a lot of that has to do with testosterone. So you already know how this works. As testosterone drops or diminishes, well, it becomes exceedingly harder to keep your body in good working order, okay? That's why I want to talk about thyme right here. Okay. I'm not going to go over every graph. I mean, there's a lot of graphs where they measure the testosterone levels of very young mice. And, that's the benchmark or the standard of excellence. And then they measure the testosterone production of mice that are 50 months old. That means they are way past the time they should have expired. But anyway, you get it. The old mice, they have really low levels of testosterone. So most likely, they're really not interested in doing much of anything. Okay? Maybe that's what your takeaway should be. When a man has low levels of testosterone, he probably is not interested in doing much of anything. Okay. So here's what they did. I think I mentioned the form of thyme that they used was called Japanese thyme. So if you want to look that up, I think the one that I have in the backyard is creeping thyme, and I'm telling you, it smells good. Oh, it smells really good. Now, I have to be careful. If I let it sit out in the hot sun for day after day after day without water, well, it tends to dry out in those pots, so you just got to make sure and give it water. And then it does great. I think it's really heat tolerant, but as long as it has water. All right, here's what they did. Now, I tried to do the conversion with a calculator, and to the best of my knowledge, when they gave these old mice just a teeny tiny amount of thyme, they started producing testosterone on a level that was almost equivalent with a very young mouse. And I thought, that is incredible. And that's probably what really caught my attention. It didn't take much, so if you take a full-grown man, not a mouse, but a man, the amount they probably gave them was probably 100 milligrams a day. Now, you know as well as I do, there's people that complain about everything. Not that I ever hear people complain. No, that's pretty rare. No one ever complains around me. I'm just joking. But sometimes people complain about taking capsules. You know, they don't complain about smoking cigarettes. They don't complain about having to drink alcohol or beer. They don't complain about eating junk food. They don't complain about other bad things, but they complain about taking a supplement that might actually have a tremendous health-promoting quality about it. Yes, it's true. I do not get that. I kind of ask myself the question, do they actually value their life? Do they take their job seriously? I mean, if you ask yourself the question, what's the purpose of living and why am I here? What am I supposed to do? What is the work that God's given me to do? Well, that should answer all these questions. You're a manager or a steward. Do you want to take good care of yourself? Well, I hope so. So, if you're in a bad place and your body is just not producing testosterone the way it should, well, maybe something like thyme might interest you. So if you're a full-grown adult man, well, just maybe 100 milligrams would be an interesting starting point. I mean, I just haven't seen another study like this. And so they show a young mouse. Oh, my goodness. Do they pump out the testosterone or what? An old mouse? They probably don't even make a fifth as much. They're like scraping the bottom of the barrel. Anyway, what I find interesting was they actually did the studies and they started looking at the genetic code and they started finding out what happens to the genetic code of these old mice when we start giving them thyme, T-H-Y-M-E. Well, all of a sudden those genes that signal the production of testosterone in the gonads of the mice, all of a sudden they start working harder. Or maybe, if I phrase that differently, maybe all of a sudden these tired, exhausted enzymes or genes, all of a sudden with thyme, they can start working better. You know, when I started thinking about this, I thought, what if you have like a really old, feeble human being and they just don't have any motivation to do anything other than sit in the chair? I wonder what would happen if we gave them a little bit of thyme. I'm not suggesting you do that. But this is interesting to me. So on the genetic level, all these DNA and gene expressions and enzymes, they start working a lot better, specifically when it came to how do we stimulate the body to do a better job of making testosterone. I'm not saying this is perfect, but it's as close as I'm going to ever get to a graph where they compare a young mouse that's like, you know, perfect when it comes to testosterone production. Okay. Here's the active phytochemicals right here. This is probably not going to light your brain up like it does mine, because I dig this stuff. But let me at least cover this just briefly, because, you know, if you hear this, you might want to go, okay, this is making sense. So when the researchers, they actually tried to find out what exactly is the substance in the thyme that seems to trigger better production of testosterone. And they found out that in thyme or thyme, they had large amounts of what's called caffeic acid. That's not really caffeine. And one called rosmarinic acid. Now, I don't expect you to remember this, but maybe a year ago, maybe two, I covered research on what are the plant substances that seem to have the highest correlation to longevity. And when I say longevity, what I really mean is this. If you can keep your body or your cells, glands, tissues, organs, if you can keep them in good working order, then they don't break down. But if they're not in good working order, oh my goodness, well, that's an opportunity for disease to set in. That's where your cells become sick. They become toxic. Or if you want to say it a different way, what happens when your body becomes sluggish and it just doesn't have the strength to bounce back? What if your body cannot manage inflammation properly? Well, anyway, rosmarinic acid is just one of those compounds. When you get plenty of it, your body seems to work really, really well. If I'm not mistaken, some of the common herbs, as I just slightly go on a rabbit trail just for a little bit, same topic. What plants would have rosmarinic acid? Well, one of them is called rosemary. If you start adding rosemary to your food when you're cooking it, you might be better off. I think turmeric has rosmarinic acid. If I'm not mistaken, the other one that I'm thinking of, I'm almost positive that pomegranate. I don't know if you remember the study where they took men that had had very significant heart attacks, not enough to where they died suddenly, not a massive coronary where they died on the spot, but where they were able to get to the hospital or the emergency room, and they were either put in intensive care or in the hospital. As they tried to start treatments to try to help assist the person having a heart attack. But the ones that were given 8 ounces of pomegranate juice every day, and again, pomegranate juice, it contains rosmarinic acid. Okay? Those men that were on pomegranate juice, they were released from the hospitals 4 days earlier than those that did not contain or did not drink the pomegranate juice. So what does that tell you? Well, there's got to be something in pomegranate juice that helps the heart to heal. What do you think about that? Which, that's the other thing about rosmarinic acid. It seems to have some benefit at preventing the buildup of plaque in the arteries. You know, where the arteries become hardened and stiffened. I think everybody can benefit from that. And if you don't want to drink pomegranate juice, maybe you can just buy the dehydrated pomegranate juice powder, and you could take a spoonful and you could add it to your green tea in the morning, and it will turn your green tea pomegranate red. Anyway, I think the men that had heart attacks, as long as they had a little bit of pomegranate juice, they healed 40% faster. Now, you're probably thinking, big deal, 40%. I really like hospital food, Dr. Morgan. I'd like to stay hooked up to an IV and feel exhausted and weak. I'm really not interested in getting well and getting out of the hospital. And plus, I'm a multi-billionaire, so I can spend endless amounts of my money on health care. I really enjoy that sort of thing. Well, you're a weirdo if you're that way. Most people, they want to be in their own home, and they don't want to have to use every drop of their savings paying for a $500,000, you know, bill because they had a heart attack and all the complications. Anyway, so back to time for a second. See, I got distracted. So, thyme, or thyme, it has a high concentration of rosmarinic acid, and when they gave it to these mice, all of a sudden, it caused them to have a much better gene expression of telling the body, I need you to make more testosterone, and then all of a sudden the old mice start acting like young mice. Okay, they did a different one. This is like part two of the equation. What they did was they took testicular cells from mice, they kept them alive in test tubes, and they found out when they gave them caffeic acid and rosmarinic acid from thyme, they saw that that combination, which is what thyme or thyme is naturally high in, all of a sudden, those cells in the test tube, they started producing more testosterone. I mean, it's just so interesting. I don't think I've heard anything quite like this, but have you ever heard of somebody overdosing on thyme? You don't even know this, but if you eat a packaged food or you put on makeup, actually, I'm speaking to women, you know that. Well, maybe not today. Never mind. Get off that topic, Roy. You have been consuming thyme or thyme. It's so safe. I don't think I've ever heard one person complain to me about thyme or thyme. It's just so interesting. And literally, if you're a full-grown man, it would be maybe about 100 milligrams a day. And that's how you'd get the higher concentration of caffeic acid and rosmarinic acid. You got to remind yourself, these are compounds that are found in nature. There may be a reason why things, herbs like turmeric or green tea or pomegranate are so effective at helping the human body heal, helping the body be better repaired. I think I like that. So there's a conversation on that, but it enhances testosterone production. And there are other studies where they use thyme oil in animals. I'm looking at the headline right here on the sheet of paper that I copied from the article. So I don't know about that. I haven't read that one. So, but you can't go wrong if you just take the thyme. Anyway, you need to take thyme. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open, 903-589-8507. That's 903-589-8507. 8507. I'd be more than pleased or happy to take your phone call and answer any questions you may have. And that way, if you call me now, you won't have to call me at my office. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes. How are you this morning, Dr. Marcus?
Oh, I'm good. That's so sweet of you to ask. I'm doing great. How are you, ma'am?
Good. Well, I'm doing pretty well. Listen, I just, that was interesting. Now, I'm a widow, so I don't care about a husband having a lot of energy. but I do have a neighbor that has had 7 heart attacks. And so I thought that was really interesting about the pomegranate juice, and I can't wait to tell my neighbors about it.
Oh, good. Yay.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to ask you, I have high blood pressure, and I'm 81, and I didn't have that until about 2 years ago. And I'm having a real struggle trying to keep it what everybody calls normal, and it's just too high. And is there anything I've done everything I know to do to try to lower it. Is there anything, and I'm into all natural things, so is there anything I can do?
Have you been to your doctor where they've done like a lab test?
Yeah, he's done lab tests on me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you a different idea. There is a mineral called magnesium.
Yes.
And
I'm familiar with it.
I think it's really good that we kind of be open-minded and we be kind of curious about how do these things really work, because I'm not trying to tell you I understand all of it. Believe me, I'm plenty confused at times when I try to ask questions and solve these mysteries. But when they do a lab test, all they have to do is they have to measure what's called serum magnesium. So they're just trying to get an idea. What is the exact precise concentration or the level of magnesium that's found in your blood or your blood serum? And usually the range is going to be somewhere between 1.7 and I'm just going to say 2.4. Some labs have it at 2.6, and I really think that's brilliant. Let me tell you why. Most of the studies show that if you can start hitting above 2.4, you actually have the least blood pressure problems. So I would say if your blood test demonstrated that your magnesium levels were 2.4, 2.5, 2.6, that things would bode really, really well for you when it comes to blood pressure. Now,
okay.
The real reason I'm saying that is, well, actually, let me go on a sidetrack. I'm going to talk about your neighbor just for a second, the one that you care about.
Yes.
Do you know what the standard operating procedure was prior to 1996? If a man had severe chest pain, he said, there's pressure in my chest, I got pain in the left side of my neck and my jaw, it's going down my arm, I've got sweats on my forehead, I'm short of breath, it feels like there's an elephant sitting on me, I can't breathe, that's a heart attack. So their standard of care was they would start an IV, and guess what the IV contained? Magnesium.
Oh.
That was what worked better than anything else, because they know that magnesium, and I'll just give you just a very brief rundown, magnesium plays a role in helping to relax and open up your arteries, which means when your arteries are more relaxed and dilated, you can carry more oxygen and more nutrients, because that's what a heart attack is. It's a big honking Charlie horse of the heart, because you just don't get enough oxygen. So magnesium, by its very nature, when you have an optimal amount of it, all of a sudden your arteries open up and they can relax instead of being tight and constricted, making your blood pressure go up. But that used to be the standard of care until on the market came very, very expensive blood thinning agents like Eliquis and Xarelto and Warfarin, all that stuff. But it worked so well, but they got away from it. I don't like that. The other reason I'm saying this, if somebody has a magnesium level less than 2.4 on their blood test, then I would say you got to give them about 40 weeks. That's what the latest studies are showing. I know that blows your mind. 40 weeks to get them replenished and filled back up with magnesium again. Now, my next point is this right here. And when we're talking about blood pressure, okay? So magnesium is a is a huge, huge factor. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to combine two nutrients together. I'm going to say that there's an intimate relationship between what's called vitamin D or vitamin D3 and another one called vitamin K2. Both of those, what they have in common is they're fat-soluble vitamins. And so usually when somebody has more optimal vitamin D3 levels and vitamin K2 levels, they don't have blood pressure problems. They really don't. But I think those really work hand in hand with magnesium. Now, if you said, I need you to explain perfectly and scientifically how they're connected, I'm going to say, I haven't figured that one out yet, but I know they do. I mean, no one's going to overdose on magnesium. Well, you could overdose on magnesium, but nobody dies. You just get a little bit of diarrhea if you take too much of it. But one thing that vitamin K2 does better than anything else, it helps to make sure that your arteries stay very supple and flexible and bendable. This would be...
Boy, that's important.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Because what's the opposite of being supple and bendable?
Yeah.
That's called stiff, hard, rigid. That's where your heart has to work so much harder to increase blood pressure to pump the same amount of blood through your arteries. So we want your arteries to open up. So those are three specific ideas that might benefit you. And all I'm really suggesting is maybe we could find the Goldilocks just right amount to help you out. And so I would suggest probably somewhere around 400 to 500 milligrams of a good form of magnesium. One of the reasons why I favor the form called magnesium lactate is because it very easily crosses the blood-brain barrier. It's almost like the brain wants to soak it up and drink it down. It's very easy to pass through the stomach, but your body can put this to use almost instantly. And so magnesium, by its very nature, it holds an electrical charge. I'm not saying it's a same strength of electrolyte that sodium or chloride or potassium is, but it does hold electrical charge. But magnesium, you have to have it. And I really believe that as you and I age, we need more vitamin D, more K2, and more magnesium than we did when we were young. So unless a person's making a concerted effort to take more of those things, they're probably going to become deficient. Which brings me to my next point. I think there's a lot of people that do a great job of taking the right amount of nutrients, but the problem is they don't have the digestive capacity to help absorb them where they can get them to where they need to go. And so that's one thing. I have this picture of a graph in my mind. I can't show it to you, but it's in my mind. But it shows that when somebody's like 14, 15, 16, they absolutely have the strongest hydrochloric acid secretions in their stomach. And their pancreas is pumping out wonderful amounts of enzymes. And they could digest three hamburgers and, convert it into muscle. You can't do that when you're 81 years old, exactly. And so I'm going to suggest to you that you probably have a tremendous weakness when it comes to digesting food. You just may not know it. Do you have any trouble with constipation?
A little bit. Not much. As long as I will eat roughage, I'm okay.
Okay, good.
If I skip the roughage, forget it. I get in trouble.
The substance I'm thinking of is called hydrochloric acid. If I put that thought on hold, the other thing that you could look at is, it's called Bragg's apple cider vinegar, or there's other brands too.
Okay. I have tried the Bragg's apple cider vinegar, and the acid, I can't take it. It causes me to have like ulcers in my mouth. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. When that produces ulcers, I think you have an essential fatty acid deficiency. That's like a different topic, but it's still the same conversation about blood pressure. Have you ever heard of cod liver oil?
Absolutely.
Do you take it?
No.
Well, there was a study done recently. See, I'm really trying to help you. There was a study done recently, and they showed that men that had the highest level of concentration of cod liver oil in their red blood cell membrane, they lived an average of 5 years longer without any health problems. So to me, that's an impressive study. And the way that I interpret that is, is there a substance that could keep our bodies in good working order where they don't break down and they as good as they can be? Well, that's cod liver oil. They actually, you could do this if you wanted to. They have a couple of labs where you can just, they send you a test kit in the mail and you could prick your finger and put a drop of blood on it and let it dry. But they'll tell you exactly what the concentration of omega-3 fatty acids would be in your red blood cell membranes. And I want to say when those numbers start hitting about 9.5%, a person's almost bulletproof when it comes to how strong that their heart and their blood and their arteries is. That wasn't good English, arteries is. Their arteries are. But anyway, so I would think about that right there. The other thing, and this is really a serious topic, there's a hormone called insulin. Insulin
is... that's what you take when you have diabetes.
Yeah, exactly. But when somebody's insulin levels are a little bit too high, and usually if you wanted to go to the doctor and say, could you measure my fasting insulin levels? Or sometimes it's just called insulin fasting. If that's above 10, that means you got a little bit too much insulin in your veins and your arteries. And what that does is it makes them constrict and tighten. Anyway, I'll get off that topic. So the other compound that I like very, very much, most of the research was done by a guy by the name of, I forget his first name. It's something like Rafael. He's a Spaniard from Spain. But I think his name is Ignaro, Dr. Ignaro. I think he's the one that won the Nobel Prize Award in medicine for his research on that signaling molecule called nitric oxide. Now, I'm really not trying to be crude by saying this, and I know this is a family program, but I want to illustrate a point. If a man is 80 and he can no longer perform, you know, in a manly way, you know what I mean, that's because he doesn't have... I'm not asking you to give a demonstration, but if he can't, that means he doesn't have enough nitric oxide. So the doctor might say, let me give you either Viagra or Cialis, which, oh my word, you know how many prescriptions are for that drug every day in America?
It's huge. I can imagine.
But what that does is it rapidly increases nitric oxide. Or another way of saying this, if somebody had chest pain, they may pop a nitroglycerin tablet under their tongue and suck on it, because that instantly increases nitric oxide.
Yeah, that's what my neighbor does.
Well, that means he's not going to get... By the way, I know I'm getting sidetracked here slightly, but they've shown that if you use mouthwash, you're totally destroying your nitric oxide ability to produce good blood flow.
Oh, my goodness.
So if you don't want to have high blood pressure, you got to ditch fluoride toothpaste. Yes, I know exactly what I'm saying. It's not going to be popular. Every dentist is going to call me on the phone. They're going to complain and say, Dr. Morgan, you don't know what you're talking about. Fluoride's good for you. And plus, the more fluoride that we prescribe, the more Alzheimer's we have, and that keeps neurologists in business. And
oh, my goodness.
We have to build more health care facilities for people with Alzheimer's. So, Dr. Morgan, just keep your opinion to yourself. We got a good thing going here. We're making lots of money. But if you use fluoridated toothpaste or mouthwash, you're asking for high blood pressure. And the thing of it is, when you look at the studies on this, it only takes maybe 4 days of continuous use of mouthwash for your blood pressure to shoot up by about 10 to 15 points. What does that tell you?
Ooh.
And so if you come off mouthwash and don't use mouthwash, then what you have is you have your blood pressure starting to normalize because your body can actually start making what's called nitric oxide.
Okay, if you don't use regular toothpaste, what do you use?
You use toothpaste without fluoride. Just look at the
Without fluoride.
Yeah,
okay.
If I didn't say that right, please forgive me, but you're looking for, instead of getting fluoridated toothpaste, you're getting non-fluoride toothpaste. Does that make sense?
Okay. Is that easy to get?
Real easy. You can get it just about anywhere. You just have to look at the label, and it's going to say fluoride-free.
Okay.
And I'm really serious about
that.
I don't have the articles in front of me, but I'm telling you today, under these circumstances, it's so easy to look up any article you want. You can look up almost anything. I think it's good for you to be very curious. But one part of the solution would be what's called beets or beet powder or beet juice.
I've been taking beet juice for quite a while.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask a question.
And for a while, it did real well. I mean, my blood pressure was fine. And then all of a sudden, it just seemed like the beet juice quit working, and
okay.
I couldn't.
Well, let's,
I don't know
let's
why.
Let's put that on hold. Instead of us saying the beet juice quit working, let's see if there's another factor involved. Is there anything that you can think of that may have changed? Did anything happen to you? Did you get sick at all?
No.
Okay.
Well, that's why I thought, what happened here?
What do you normally eat for breakfast?
Well, I sometimes just have a boiled egg and a slice of toast.
Okay.
And then sometimes I have a cottage cheese and about three different kinds of fruit, like blueberries, pecans, let's see, grapes. I love those red grapes. And
oh, I do too.
Banana. Oh, they, yeah, okay. Well, that's usually what I, one of those two things for breakfast.
Is it hard to climb to the top of the pine trees and get those grapes? No. No, something's changed. Something's changed. We just need to pinpoint what it is. I would say that probably 90% of all blood pressure control comes from the kidneys. And so if they did like a lab test, you're looking for the marker that says GFR, glomerular filtration rate. When that one is lower than 100, that means, or lower than 95, that means you've got significant damage to the kidneys. And I know I'm an oversimplifier, but the kidneys do so much. And so when the kidneys weaken, or they become stressed, that's the net result, is you're going to have blood pressure problems.
Hmm.
Because they produce a lot of the hormones that keep your blood in good regulation and keep your arteries from being too stiff.
Okay.
Studies have shown that hibiscus tea can be okay. Very, very good at helping to lower blood pressure by getting the kidneys in better working order.
I wanted to ask you about that because someone had told my friend that if you would drink a cup of hibiscus tea every night before you went to bed, that would take care of high blood pressure. Is that true?
I don't know that I want to say that because usually I think in terms of it's between 2 and 3 cups to get the job done.
2 and 3 cups a day.
Yeah, but you got to wait for about probably 2 to 3 weeks for it to work. You got to remember, hibiscus is not a drug. It's just a flower.
Right.
It's a pretty flower.
Oh, yeah, it's what the Hawaiian girls wear.
I know. Now we just solved the mystery. Why they look so beautiful. Okay, so the other thing that I would say is usually as a human being ages, their requirements for protein tend to increase. And so if a person doesn't increase the protein, that usually means they're increasing carbohydrates. Do you have a sweet tooth at all?
Yes, I do. A little bit. Not really bad, but I do a little bit.
Well, how do you indulge in your sweet tooth?
Okay. I allow myself one little cookie or two little cookies before after I eat my dinner. That's what I do.
Do you have to pick them up with tweezers because they're so little?
No. No, but they're not very big.
You know, the bottom line is, before I came on the radio this morning, I was looking at an article. I'm not going to read it to you, but it's about how cacao, which is what chocolate's made of, is really, really good for the health of your arteries. And so there's compounds in there. I think one of them is called epicatechin, that when you consume dark chocolate. So I don't have any problem if you tell me you want to go to the grocery store or the health food store and get one of those dark 91% cacao chocolate bars. If you want to eat a square or two of that every night, that'd be great.
Okay.
Because it does increase blood flow, and it does help relax the arteries.
Hmm.
Do you go for walks?
Yes, I love to walk.
Oh, good. Do you like to be outside?
Yes.
I think the hobby called gardening has been shown to have the lowest blood pressure and the longest life of any hobby.
Well, I'm in an apartment complex, so I don't do gardening, and I do have a back problem, so I can't really do gardening.
And I think people that keep crocodiles entertained, they have a very low life expectancy, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
Could you imagine giving a chicken to a crocodile, then turning your back on him?
No.
Probably wouldn't go so well, would it?
Mm-mm.
You do know that there... What now?
I'm too tender-hearted. I couldn't stand that.
You mean feeding yourself to the crocodile? Oh, you mean the chicken?
Is that the chicken?
I know very little about this, but I know that I am not a fan of huge snakes. Are you?
No.
I have seen pictures on the internet of these large snakes that aren't native to Florida or the Everglades swallow 4 and 5 foot alligators whole. I'm going, oh, how do they do that? They're just destroying all our native wildlife. What would happen if they stocked Lake Palestine with saltwater crocodiles? I think I know one person that would not be fishing on Lake Palestine.
I don't care much for the lake anyway, so that wouldn't. But
you mean no, you're not on the lake fishing right now?
I'm a mountain person. No.
You must live at
the mountains.
Do you live at Mount Selman?
Heavens, no. I used to live in Colorado.
Oh, so you know what real mountain? I bet that's beautiful.
Oh yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
What's
gorgeous.
The most amazing thing that you ever saw when you were in Colorado?
Well, we used to live in Montrose. You've probably never heard of it.
That's right.
But it's a small town up in the northwest corner. And if you go up in the mountains, there is a waterfall up there. And it's just absolutely. And then there are just like meadows of flowers in the summertime.
I want to go right now.
Oh, you need to go.
Well, here, I'm going to have to cut this call short. I've got to get out of here.
Okay.
No, but thank you very much for your phone call. But I think if you go
back
and look at your lab test, just look for anything that's out of the normal range, and that may give you a clue.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, there's a phone line once again open at 903-589-8507. And this program is called Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan. Let me give out the phone number one more time in case you want to call and ask a question. 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm calling for my wife. She had a couple things that she wanted me to ask you about. So the first one is when she gets up in the morning, she's having a hard time opening her eyes, especially the left one, to kind of pull it apart. She has to.
Is that because there's like sticky matter holding them together?
You know, I believe so. Let me ask her real quick. She said no.
Does she feel like she's really alert and awake first thing in the morning?
Yes, she is.
Okay. So it's just kind of hard opening the eye?
Yes.
Does she have good vision or does she have blurry vision in the morning?
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Does she suffer from blurry vision?
No.
Okay. How old is your wife? Do you mind if I ask?
She's in her early 60s.
Okay, does she have anything that she's taking as far as a pharmaceutical drug or prescription?
Maybe some thyroid medicine, that's probably the only thing.
Does she have any trouble with loose stools or diarrhea?
No.
Okay. Sometimes that's one of the side effects if they overdose or they give you too much thyroid. Okay, so is there anything that you can think of why it would be hard? Do you mean like from the muscular point of view or neurological, she just can't control her eyelids or those eye muscles? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. What I usually look for in something like this, I either look for what's called an allergy, but I'm going to say that in a very, very broad term, very general. Maybe I'm being more vague. But that's one of the things that I think of, because we're no longer living in the Garden of Eden, so it's not like we live in a planet where we don't have to encounter toxins or things that could be poisonous or cause a problem with our nervous system. One study that I read recently said that over a lifetime, the average human being has to process between 10 and 12,000 pounds of pure environmental toxic debris. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness. Thank goodness it happens over 80 years and not over one day. You couldn't do it. So,
one other thing she mentioned to me was that her neck is sore on the left side, especially up into the behind her ear. I don't know if that would associated with it.
The first thing that popped in my head, and I didn't say it because I'm trying to be positive, not negative, but I just wonder if she has an artery that's restricted on the left side. And so let me say it a different way. Your primary blood supply to the head is going to be what's called the carotid artery, and then there's another one called the vertebral artery. But unusual things start happening on one side when you have reduced blood flow. So let me just go old school for just a second. Let's just say that your wife is sitting in a chair and she's perfectly relaxed, and I take my stethoscope and my blood pressure cuff and I check the blood pressure on her right arm. And I listen very carefully, and it comes back exactly 120 over 80. And I say, man, that's excellent. Now, if I go to the left arm, and that number comes back 130 over 87, what am I going to think? I'm going to think there's a restriction in the blood, you know, the vascular tree on the left side. So if you measure blood pressure from one side of the body to the other, and one side is significantly higher, which I know 10 points, that may not sound significant, but that's kind of what you see when there's restricted blood flow in an artery. So that could be a clue that she has an artery that's a bit occluded, meaning she doesn't quite have the blood flow. Maybe there's a 70% blockage, but that's one of the things I would look at. Now, if she told me that her eyelid continually twitches, does that happen at all?
No, it's not. It's just in the morning.
Okay, just in the morning. I've got to believe it's a blood flow issue. Does she do anything as far as stretching of her neck or exercises?
Yeah, she does yoga. She
that's awesome.
Walks. She's a former marathon runner, so her blood pressure's always been really, really low.
Is that how you met her at the finish line at the marathon?
No.
Wow, she's an incredible athlete. Well, what I was going to say is I'm still looking for that, but in the simple way of doing it right now, one of the minerals that you always think about with eye problems is going to be either niacinamide or magnesium, because what they do is they increase blood flow. But the eye is a very unusual system in the body. If I'm not mistaken, probably 70% of the entire part of the brain is devoted to eyesight. I'm not saying I understand how all that works. But there's just a lot of brain geography that's devoted to vision and eyesight, and the eyelids are part of it. So magnesium is one of the things that I would give. I am a huge fan of cod liver oil when it comes to eye health. I wish I could be more helpful, but it's not like she's right in front of me where I can actually examine her. Let me ask you this. Tell me about her fingernails. Are her fingernails just drop-dead gorgeous, beautiful, naturally?
Well, I just concentrate on her other beauty. I don't really.
Well, I'm not asking you to focus on that. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to back you into a corner. But does she have soft, bendable nails, or do they peel? Do they break easy?
Yeah, I think her nails are fine. I don't recall her having any issues.
Well, a lot of times when the nail beds are really soft, that suggests that they've lost their digestive capacity, so they just can't absorb the nutrients. And I mean, the eye requires so much energy, and so do the eyelids, but those are just some of the things I think of. I'm sorry I can't do a better job of fixing this for you.
Okay. Well, those are helpful. We have a blood pressure monitor here. We'll test that and
there you
go. Look at it. And if we need to, maybe we'll swing by and have you take a look at her, you know, in person.
All right.
And
well,
one other question,
yes, sir.
If you have time, I don't know.
Yeah.
Her pointer finger on her right hand, she was, you know, undoing the gas cap at the gas station, and it popped, and now it's swelling very large on the knuckle.
What do you mean it popped? Like she tore a tendon loose?
Don't know. She just said she felt a pop, and then you know it's been swollen. She's been using, you know, castor oil on it, different things trying to.
Well, I think that's smart.
Come back down.
Had she recently taken any antibiotic like Cipro or a fluoroquine?
No.
Okay. Is she taking hormone replacement therapy?
Yes, I believe she does.
Okay, well, bingo. Well, how am I going to know what she's taking? But hormones can definitely weaken the tendons or the ligaments. Man, I don't know what to tell you. I just think there's a lot more to the story than what I understand.
Okay.
And we just need to kind of flesh it out. But castor oil is a good. I'd probably use like what's called a mud pack or a clay pack on that. That usually pulls the swelling out really, really fast.
Okay. And this is any kind of
they sell the clay. Yeah. It's called Indian healing clay. They even have it at the large grocery stores.
Okay.
It's not in the chip aisle. It's usually where they have, you know, makeup or natural. I've actually seen it where they have more than natural bars of soap. Like when somebody has an allergy, they might have goat milk soap or other types of soap.
Well, if she was to pack that, would she do it like before she goes to bed, wrap it up and let it overnight?
Well, no, you just take the dry powder from the tub of the Indian healing clay and you put it like in a porcelain or a glass bowl. And add just enough water to make kind of like, you've seen people with pottery wheels try to make like a bowl or a cup or a plate or something.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to make it like a thick mud. You leave it on there for about 20 minutes. It essentially dries out, but it pulls toxins out of the finger. It does a good. If you told me there was a water moccasin and I had to get bit by it on my finger, I'd say get my clay ready now. I got to draw that stuff out. Did I tell you about that time that I was fishing and I caught a water moccasin with a topwater lure?
No, you didn't.
Well, let me tell you real quick. Paul was sitting right behind me, and when I reeled in this snake, it was hissing and trying to crawl straight down my pole toward me. And when I started to turn my pole around to show Paul, he had the oar cocked back. He said, "I am going to knock you out if you bring that snake anywhere closer to me." So that didn't work out real well. Anyway, always carried like a single shot 410 shotgun, so I had to go and dispatch the snake. I know there's snake lovers out there, but I don't think you can play around with a water moccasin. They're bad. Anyway, so the Indian healing clay, you leave it on for 20 minutes, and castor oil is a good idea, but you're trying to promote healing. But I'm just curious, why would her tendon or her ligament just pop or her muscle tear? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. That's what we were thinking. It would just be kind of temporary, and she'd, you know.
Does she have any other issues that she deals with besides, you know, what you told me? There's got to be another clue in there somewhere.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay, so she didn't have any problem with her back, her knees, her hips. She's in good shape.
Yes.
Okay, good deal. Good. Excellent. But now there's a mystery that needs to be solved, so look at those things, and we'll go from there.
We'll try those things, and if need be, we'll give you a call and bring her by.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You have a blessed day.
You too, buddy. Appreciate your call. Bye-bye. I pretty much guarantee you, if I had a water moccasin on the end of my fishing pole and I swung it around, I'm sure somebody would say, "I will kill you, Roy," if you do that. The number here at the station, there's time for another phone call, is 903-589-8507. Of course, you know, I do everything I can not to be negative, but I can tell you, one of the other thoughts that I had was, has there been like a recent vaccine? That's the weird eye stuff that I've seen when somebody's had the you-know-what vaccine. Good morning. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I have an unusual question. Normally, I don't see you addressing babies, so I have a...
Ma'am, I address babies all the time. The other day, one came in my office, and I said, "Sweetheart, how are you doing?" Oh, you meant talking about babies.
Talking about babies, yes. Okay. I have a five-month-old grandson that is very colicky, one-month-old. And, you know, the typical... grape water, the different thing, all essential oils. I mean, speak about it? And my daughter is very careful what she's eating. She's scared to even eat sometimes because everything, I mean, because she doesn't know what's causing so much colic.
Okay, is she exclusively breastfeeding or nursing the baby?
Yeah.
That what this means is there's something that mom is eating that the baby doesn't agree with, and I'll just kind of give you a rundown.
Okay.
Is the mother eating any wheat or dairy or corn?
No, she's avoiding all of that.
Well, what is she eating then?
Yesterday she ate apples and okay. Peanut butter, and when she said yogurt. I mean, she's have a 2-year-old, and so she's having a hard time keeping up. And just,
oh my goodness,
you know,
yes, that's like an understatement. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, where she said this character is very plain, very like no dairy. I mean, no wheat, no corn. I mean, she's yeah, it's pretty clean and very. I mean, yeah, she should eat more protein and stuff.
Okay, was the mother in good working order before she became pregnant? Was everything fine?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the baby's colicky, let me just give you like 4 or 5 different ideas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Does she, I know this sounds weird what I'm fixing to say, but does she have what's called, there's a type of acid called succinic acid, but it's found in high concentration in Baltic amber. And so if you live anywhere near the Baltic Sea, I'm just assuming you're calling from Poland right now, near the Baltic Sea, is that correct?
No, not really.
But have you seen babies that they have on a Baltic amber necklace?
No.
Well, I think if she got the baby a Baltic amber necklace, they should cost no more than $12.95.
But that
may make a huge deal. But usually, what I think of with mom, if she's eating clean. I would probably give your daughter some digestive enzymes with her meals, whatever she's eating. If it happens to be a peanut butter on an apple, I'd still give her some digestive enzymes to see if that doesn't clean up. Now, the other thing is, and I'm not trying to be bad by saying this, but usually the issues are there's some debris that's coming through the mammary gland or the milk that's upsetting the baby's stomach. So that would be the forte of taking an herb called milk thistle. You ever heard of milk thistle?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think that it just kind of always cleans that stuff up. Was the baby born natural childbirth, or was there like a hospital visit with a...
No, it was midwife.
Midwife. Okay, perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. All right.
Mm-hmm.
There is a homeopathic remedy called Nux Vomica. It's spelled N-U-X... V-O-M-I-C-A. What now?
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with.
Okay. So that's kind of like the universal cure-all for a baby. So you can get those in little bitty powdery tablets. They're easy to dissolve. But you could do that. But as far as mom goes, I'd have the mom take digestive enzymes. I think a milk thistle. And she may notice that all of a sudden the nausea goes away. I'd probably rub a little bit of castor oil over what's called the ileocecal valve of the baby, because usually when that's upset, you're going to be colicky.
Okay. We will take notes, and I will pass that on. Thank
you
so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for your phone call.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
I have a curious streak, which means I like to do what I can to see if I can't solve mysteries and figure things out, but I think you're wired the same way. But today, it's just so easy in that you could ask a question. You could say, what can I do for a baby with colic? And you could start looking at studies. And I think there's so much room to improve how we impart knowledge. But usually, if the mom's exclusively breastfeeding, there's going to be one substance that the baby just didn't agree with. And that could be maybe onions or maybe peanut butter. But usually, and that's really the purpose of an office visit, if you want to figure that out, we're trying to solve what is the baby reacting to. So if the mother has just a little bit of a leaky gut, which most likely she does, if the mom is under very significant stress, which most likely with a baby and a 2-year-old, you're just completely worn out and exhausted all the time. I really, for the life of me, do not know how a woman could make it with a young baby without people around her to help her. That's got to be a sad situation. Unfortunately, we're all out of time. Lord willing, I will be back this time next week.